Would you pray with me? Father, we praise you that you chose to give your Son for us. For were it not for him, Lord God, we would be judged in our sin. We pray, Lord, that as we remember him this evening, that you would be pleased. We pray that you would allow us to remember him well for your glory, and we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Please turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to Romans 10. Romans 10. And as you're doing that, be thinking about the two kinds of righteousness that are in this world. There's one kind of righteousness that is from God, and there is another kind of righteousness that man generates on his own. Paul is writing in Romans 10 to the church in Rome, and he's explaining that there is one and only one righteousness that is pleasing to God. And he uses the legalistic Jew to make his point. The legalistic Jew was diligent to observe the law. He obeyed the law to the greatest of his abilities. But his pursuit of the law, as diligent and as faithful as it was, brought him to no true righteousness. Let's read verses 3 and 4 of Romans 10 together. For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. This passage reveals Jesus and Jesus alone as the only source of righteousness that is acceptable to God. The situation that we see before us is laid out in verse 3. There's a man who's being described here, and he has a certain characteristic about himself, and that characteristic is that he does not know about God's righteousness. He does not know about the righteousness that is unique to God. It's characteristic of God. It's part of God. It's innate in God. It's consistent with his holiness. He doesn't know about that. But it's not as if he's uninformed about that. It's not as if he doesn't know about this. He knows all about God's righteousness. Instead, what this passage is telling us is the man has rejected that holiness and that righteousness. And the reason why he's rejected it is because he thinks he has something better. And when we look in the middle of verse 3, we see what it is that he has that he believes is better than the righteousness that God offers to us. We see that he's trying to establish his own righteousness, a righteousness that is from him. And the way that he goes about that is very offensive to God, because what he does is he takes the Old Testament law, which God gave to us, and he gave it to us to show us that we have a need and we have a deficiency and we are unrighteous. And this man uses his incomplete and his partial obedience to God's law as the evidence that he places before God that he is in fact righteous. And that's offensive to God. And where that leads him is the only place that our own efforts can lead us. And we see that at the end of verse 3. That this person does not subject himself to the righteousness of God. To subject oneself in righteousness in this context is to abandon all efforts to establish your own righteousness. And it's to acknowledge that God is the only one, and the righteousness of God is the only thing that will justify you in God's sight. So the man who's attempting to justify himself, by doing that, has led himself away from the only thing that will justify himself before a holy God. And we see God's purpose for the law in verse 4. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness for those who believe, for everyone who believes. The first thing that we see that the law does is that it exposes our unrighteousness. It exposes us for who we are. We're people who are unrighteous before a holy God. And then having exposed that about us, what the law does is that it points to Jesus and it reveals Jesus as the only source of righteousness that is acceptable to God. Because Jesus was fully God at the day of his birth, he possessed a perfect righteousness. And because he lived a sinless life, he maintained that perfect righteousness until the hour that he went to the cross. So the law reveals Jesus of the source of that thing that the law itself is incapable of producing in us, and that is a righteousness that is pleasing to God. you're here this morning and you have placed your faith this evening, and you've placed your faith and your confidence in Jesus Christ as the only one who possesses that righteousness, would you join us in taking the elements today? As they come to you, take them and hold them and ponder the righteousness of Jesus, that in giving his life, he would make righteousness available to you. If you're here today and that righteousness is yours, but you're living in ongoing sin, you're denying the power that God has given you as a new creation in Christ to successfully wage war against that sin, turn from that sin before taking the elements this evening. And if you're here today and you're observing this passage and your estimation of yourself, and you understand about yourself that you are pursuing a righteousness of your own to satisfy God, please understand that that is not part of God's design to save you. God's design to save you is found only in his Son, Jesus Christ. Placing your trust and your confidence in Jesus and the work that he did on the cross in place of all those who believe is the only thing that will save you. If you'd like to talk more about that after the service, myself and the rest of the elders will be available. Speak with the person next to you. Any one of us would love to speak with you about the righteousness that comes from God and how that can be yours. So men, come and serve us, and I will close our time in prayer.